Good morning. This is Chaim Goodman Strauss with The Math Factor, and here is most of a talk given by Raymond Smullyan on March 28th, 2008 at the Gathering for Gardner. Thank you.
Speaking of self-reference, I'll just tell you, there are two rules for success. Rule number one, never tell all you know. Now I'm going to tell you, once in the mystery of Mr. Boone, I think he directed a course of logic. Before the students came in, I wrote on the blackboard, please do not erase, because if you do, those who come later won't know that they shouldn't erase. Another time, I was once brilliantly outwitted by a kid aged about 9 1/2. What happened was this. I was lecturing at a university, and to give the audience something to mull over, I came a half an hour early before the audience arrived, and I wrote on the blackboard, you have no good reason to believe this sentence. The paradox is obvious. If you have no good reason to believe it, that makes the sentence true, which is a good reason to believe it. On the other hand, if you do have a good reason to believe it, at least the sentence must be true, which means you have no reason to believe it. That's the paradox. Well, half an hour later, I came down the aisle, and there I saw a kid aged about between 9 and 10. I couldn't resist pointing to the sentence and saying to him, do you believe that sentence? He said, yes. I said, what is your reason? He said, I don't have any. I said, why do you believe it? He said, intuition. This is very, very funny. I recently joined a marvelous organization called the Piano Society, pianosociety.com, in which pianists, amateurs, and professionals upload their recordings. Anybody can download them free. Anybody interested in music can download them. A lot of excellent pianists in the society. Also, by the way, I have a daily puzzle column on the society. It's called Puzzles, Jokes, Anecdotes, and Thoughts. If you want to see it, you'll have to register, but registration is free. You have to log in. You have to go to Forum, General, and then you'll see the list. Well, one of the puzzles I posted was the very famous barber paradox, which you know, most of you know, about the barber who shaved all the inhabitants of his town, all the people living in his town who did not shave themselves, and only such people. Did the barber shave himself or didn't he? And the paradox, as you know, is this. If the barber shaved himself, he's shaving someone who shaved himself. He's not supposed to do that. And if he doesn't shave himself, he's failing to shave someone who doesn't shave himself, which he's supposed to do. So either way, you get a contradiction. What is the way out? The way out, obviously, is it couldn't be such a barber. I gave you contradictory information about it. But one member of the piano society was very clever, a good pianist, had the following ingenious thought. She wrote, what he did was, he went to another town and shaved himself.
Or he lived in the other town.
Next, I want to speak to you a little bit about the Newton paradox, about the perfect predictor. I have a very diabolical way of presenting this paradox to one who hasn't heard it. I do it as follows. I say to the person, imagine you have a chest of two drawers. Either there's a $100 bill in each drawer, making $200 all told. Or there's a $1,000 bill in each drawer, making $2,000 all told. You have your choice of either picking the money from the bottom drawer or from both drawers. Which way do you think you have more money? Well, the obvious answer is, of course, I pick both drawers. Then I say to the person, is there any further information I can tell you which would make you change your mind? The answer is almost universal, you know. I'll say, but I'll bet you there is further information I can tell you which will make you change your mind, which will make you believe that you'll get more money if you take just the bottom drawer than if you take both drawers. That's this. What I failed to tell you was there is some sort of a being, either a god or a machine or a computer, who's a perfect predictor. He knows the future. He knows how you're going to choose. And he has control over the situation as to how much money should be put in the drawers. If he predicts that you're going to choose both drawers, he'll only put $100 bill in each drawer. Whereas if he predicts that you'll choose just the bottom drawer, then he'll put $1,000 bill in each drawer. Would that change your mind? Usually the answer is yes. Because now, with these extra conditions, if I choose the bottom drawer, I'll get $1,000. But if I choose both drawers, I'll only get $200. Well, there are two schools of thought on this. One says you should choose the bottom drawer for the reason I just gave. The other school says, well, look, the money's already there. There's twice as much money in both drawers as there is in the bottom drawer. So obviously you should choose both. Well, there have been many articles written supporting both sides. I heard this problem originally from Barton Gardner. I remember he was visiting me at my house. We were on the porch, and he asked me, I said, well, obviously, I would choose just the bottom drawer. He said, well, now, don't be too hasty. Imagine that the backs of the drawers were glass, and friends were behind. They could see how much money was in both drawers. And they want you to get as much money as possible. They're going to want you to choose both drawers. I didn't know how to answer at the time. Later, I realized what the answer is. If he saw $1,000 in each drawer, the only way he could hope that I would choose both drawers is by believing the predictor was wrong. If he believed the predictor was right, he would know that I'm better only choose the bottom drawer. Now, in one article Martin Gardner wrote on this problem, he came to the conclusion that this proves that the existence of a perfect predictor is largely impossible. Well, I must respectfully disagree with Barton on this point. I believe it is possible, and that's why I thought of another version of this paradox, which the predictor doesn't even appear. We have the same setup as before. Now consider the following proposition. You better write this down, I'll say it very slowly. Proposition is this. Either you will choose the bottom drawer alone, and there will be $1,000 in both drawers, or you will choose both drawers, and there'll be $100 bill in each drawer. That's the proposition. Now I'm going to prove the following logical paradox. First, I'll prove to you that this proposition is logically inconsistent. And then I'll prove to you that it is consistent. And no proposition can be both inconsistent and consistent. That's why I'm going to the paradox. Here's the proof of inconsistency. On the one hand, you get more money by choosing the bottom drawer that both of us by the previous thought, $1,000 versus $200. On the other hand, you get more money by choosing both drawers than the one drawer, which is twice as much money and both as one. Therefore, the proposition is inconsistent, which supports Gardner's position. But now I'll prove that the proposition is consistent. To prove that a proposition is consistent, all I have to do is show there's at least one possibility in which it's true. Well, it's certainly possible you'll choose the bottom drawer, though it'll be $1,000 bill in each. So the proposition is consistent after all. Next, I want to speak to you about the envelope paradox and the variant I have about that. The envelope paradox is very lovely. There are two envelopes, the given one has twice as much money in it as the other. You're holding one of the envelopes. You have the option of either taking the money from that envelope or trading for the other one. I'll prove to you the absurd proposition that you're better off trading. Suppose you have $100 bill in your envelope. The other one's either 50 or 200. If you win on the trade, you're going to win $100. If you lose, you'll only lose $50. And the probability is the same. So therefore, you're better off training, which of course is ridiculous. What is the solution? The solution usually given by probability theorists is there's no such thing as a probability measure on the infinite set of integers. But I don't believe that solution comes to the heart of the matter. I thought the following version of it was the probability is completely irrelevant. Namely this. Suppose you decide to trade. I will prove to you the following logically into propositions. One, proposition one. You have more to gain by trading than you have to lose by losing. Proposition two, the two amounts are the same. In fact, I'll do it even better. I'll do it in a more abstract version. I'll leave the envelopes out altogether. Here's my version of the paradox. You have two positive whole numbers, x and y. One of them is twice as much as the other. Now, I'm going to prove to you the following two logically inconsistent propositions. Okay, you better write them down. Proposition one. The excess of x over y, if x is greater than y, is greater than the excess of y over x, if y is greater than x. That's proposition one. Proposition two, the two excesses are the same. Here's my proof of proposition one. If x is greater than y, the excess of x over y is y, if x is twice y. On the other hand, if y is greater than x, the excess of y over x is only one half y. It's y minus a half y. And certainly y is greater than one half y. So that proves proposition one. The excess of x over y if x is greater than y is greater than the excess of y over x if y is greater than x. Proposition two, the excess of the state. I'll prove this. Let d be the difference between the two. Well, if x is greater than y, the excess of x over y is d. If y is greater than x, the excess of y over x is greater than the same. Now, if you want to see what the solution of the paradox is, ask me privately, I'll tell you. Meanwhile, let me leave you the following thought. I thought of the following combination of a paradox and an insult. Right on the board, only an idiot would believe this sentence. Now, imagine two individuals, A and B, looking at the blackboard. A says to B, do you believe that sentence? And he said, of course not. Only an idiot would believe that sentence. Now, B is not being logically inconsistent. He is being what I call psychologically peculiar. Just look. But B is saying, only an idiot would believe that sentence. He's asserting the very sense, so he clearly believes it. Yet he said he didn't believe it. So here's a curious position of believing something and also believing that he doesn't believe it. That's not a logical inconsistency, but certainly qualifies what I would call a psychological peculiarity. Thank you.